In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins, and for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. When one walks outside these days, it's impossible not to notice that we are moving from one season to another. That even though it's just late August, autumn is coming. It depends on the trees, but some trees are already losing the green. There are many leaves, yellow leaves on the ground. Maybe in some other place, now it would be 30 or 40 degrees. but here we are already putting on our autumn jackets and other forms of protection. Well, that reminds us of the fact also that a new academic year is beginning, a new school year. And in many ways, especially for those of us who are students or work in schools or universities, it is a new beginning in some ways. We normally mark a new year from January, but in a sense, January doesn't change many things. But in contrast, autumn is like the new beginning. And a new beginning, in this human sense, is also a new adventure. And perhaps this is something we could take to our prayer, take this meditation, which is a moment of prayer. I, the priest, I'm just saying some things out loud, some ideas that come to my mind, some ideas I have prepared, and other ideas that spontaneously come to my mind, trying, in a sense, to do my own prayer out loud. But we are all praying here, and one thing we could pray about is how can we approach this new year, this new academic year, this new school year with a positive attitude, with a sense of adventure, with God, precisely in my relationship with God, in my relationship with other people. And in particular, we might take as inspiration for our prayer, for our personal dialogue with our Lord Jesus Christ, those words that we read, for example, at the end of chapter 9 of Gospel according to Matthew. It says that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every infirmity. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." These are words of Christ that we probably have read and heard many times, but how good they are for our prayer. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray God to send out more laborers into his harvest. And also perhaps those words just before. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In our prayer, perhaps we can begin especially asking God for light. Lord, give me more light. By light I mean give me more understanding, give me more clarity of vision, give me more insight. What can I do? What would you like me to do? Especially in these coming weeks and months of a new school year, a new academic year, or a new period in my professional work, perhaps. How can I be a better instrument in your hands? How can I be a better laborer in your vineyard? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. It's beautiful to see how Jesus, you always, I don't know if always, but at least in this text, these words, you put the accent on the positive. Laborers are few, but you don't focus all the attention on the fact that these people were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. You see the potential. You see how there are so many people around who need you. So many people who are looking for you. In my time also, in our time, there are also so many people who look for you. Perhaps we could add so many people, really, in one way or another, everyone, in one way or another, is looking for Christ without knowing it. Everyone who seeks for happiness, for meaning, ultimately seeking something that only is found in fullness in God, in Christ, in the gospel. Therefore, the faith and the reality of God that I carry in my heart through prayer and my interior life, it's something that's relevant for everyone. Perhaps many bridges need to be built so that I can really reach to them and I can really find ways of talking to them about that. Much prayer has to be prayed and much friendship needs to be nurtured first. But I'm not selling a product that is of no interest to anyone. Perhaps it needs a new packaging, perhaps it needs to be presented in a novel and different way. But it is, when it comes, it's not that I have to be selling my faith to everyone, but when I share my faith with someone, I'm not sharing something that has nothing to offer. There's no one in this world that has no need for that message, who has no need for that reality which we find in Christ. Therefore, I too, Jesus, want to put the accent on the positive. As I consider in my prayer the way in which I can be a laborer, an instrument in your work of salvation, in your work of evangelization in my time. The harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few, but the laborers are few. We might sometimes put the accent on this second part, the laborers are few. In fact, it can happen to us that we are discouraged. It sometimes happened to me, Lord, that I look at the world around me and I see so many signs that the world in some ways at least seems to be distancing itself from you. Perhaps that's only a false impression, but sometimes it seems so. Perhaps you look at my church here in Finland, for example, or in some other place, and I'm discouraged, thinking, oh, so many people are departing. There's a crisis, there's difficulty. Perhaps that's not true everywhere, but anyway, I may pay attention to that. I can be discouraged by this lack of other people, lack of a strong team, this sense of fighting together for and advancing a great cause. And especially if I combine that with my experience of myself, my own weaknesses. So many times, Lord, I feel I'm so weak, I'm so nothing, that how could I do? How could I make any difference then? Well, it's a beautiful thing to realize that that's true, but that's a partial truth only. It's true to an extent. In fact, many saints have experienced the same. There's that beautiful story of Saint José María Escrivá, the founder of Opus Dei, who normally he was very enthusiastic and optimistic, but at least once he felt really powerless. Perhaps you know this story. It was in the 1950s. He was visiting England, a country that he loved very much, and he went there many summers in those years. And he was walking there in the city of London, which at that time was really the world's leading financial center. In some ways, it's still very important. But in the 1950s, it was like the center of a great empire with all those different colonies and the Commonwealth and so many, a great power, political and economic power. And as he was walking there in the middle of the great city of London with many old and big buildings and plaques announcing their foundational dates 2 or 3 or 4 centuries earlier, he suddenly felt a great lack of power, lack of ability to do anything here. He was thinking, of course, about the starting of the apostolic work of Opus Dei in England, and suddenly all those difficulties, all that, like, humanly speaking, power and resistance of that great country appeared to his mind. And so he said, when he returned to Rome, he described once to a group of people, a little over a month ago, I was in a country that I love a lot. It's full of sects and heresies. He said, and it's true. England is a place where so many different forms of Christianity have born along the centuries. And there's a pervasive indifference to the things of God. In fact, that was already the case in 1950s. And contemplating this panorama, I grew distressed. I felt incompetent and helpless. José María, here you can't do anything. I was right. By myself, I couldn't accomplish a single thing. Without God, I couldn't even manage to pick up a straw from the ground. But suddenly, in the middle of a street where people from every part of the world were coming and going, I felt within me, in the depth of my heart, the efficacy of God's strength. You can't, God was saying to his heart, you can't, but I can. You can't do anything, but I can do everything. You are ineptitude, but I am omnipotence. I will be with you and make you effective. We will draw souls to happiness, to unity, to the path of the Lord, to salvation. Here too we will sow abundant peace and joy. Here too we shall sow peace and joy in abundance. It's a beautiful locution that can also serve us. Our circumstances may be different. Our personality may be different. But in the end, the challenges are often the same. How do I trust, Lord, in your grace? How do I transform my sense of insecurity, my sense of inadequacy, how do I transform it into genuine humility? Genuine humility which can be combined with faith and trust and abandonment in your hands and a deep prayer for more help. If I transform it like that, then it becomes a strength. Like St. Paul writes so beautifully, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I realize and acknowledge my weakness, then I can become truly strong because I cease to trust myself so much. I ask for help. I ask for help from other people, but especially from God. Perhaps I ask also more from Our Lady, Our Blessed Mother in Heaven, the Virgin Mary, who is also so powerful in that spiritual world, which is what really matters. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Well, how do I pray? That's another question we can put to ourselves. How do I pray? Jesus, how do I pray? How is my prayer doing? Perhaps now in this beginning of a new school year, it's a good time for me to renew my prayer. Renew my mental prayer that I try to do every day. A moment in the morning or in the afternoon or both, dedicating some time exclusively to you, my Lord. Not giving in to discouragement, putting away distractions, looking for some useful book or some ideas that can foster my prayer. Perhaps trying to be more sincere, more simple in God's presence. Being myself. What about my prayer of petition? How do I ask for things? How often do I raise my mind and heart to God asking for something? For things that really matter. Not just a list of things that I have prepared 10 years ago, that perhaps is no longer relevant, or that I don't feel any enthusiasm for. My real concerns, my worries, my fears, my hopes, my dreams, and the needs of the people around me. How do I carry those needs to God, to the heart of God, and to the heart of Our Lady? Do I pray for my heart? I want to mention one challenge in particular. It's a challenge that we may face if we have a life of prayer and a kind of plan of spiritual life, which is very regular. Like, I pray every day, I pray the rosary every day, maybe I even go to Mass every day, you know. And one of the difficulties, one of the challenges may be routine. Routine kicks in, and I start to do those things only kind of formally, only on the outside, or to fulfill a certain expectation or goal that I have set myself. I recently heard a funny anecdote from an American priest called Father Joe Keefe. He told something that happened to another American priest of Opus Dei, Father Jim, many years ago, perhaps about 30 or 40 years ago. It was a time when Blessed Alvaro del Portillo, Don Alvaro, a previous head of Opus Dei, was visiting the United States. They were in California. And one day they stopped to pray the Angelus, that beautiful little prayer, at midday. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, she conceived by the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, and so on. Don Alvaro was leading this prayer, and suddenly in the middle of the prayer he stopped. And a bit like, oh, what's going on? And then he turned to Father Jim and said, Jim, Our Lady is not an, this is a translation from Spanish, Our Lady is not an entelequi, she's a real person. In Spanish that would be una entelequia, which translates more or less as something unreal, something that is a product of our mind, but not a real thing or not a reality. Jim, a lady is not like something unreal. She's a real person. And then they continued saying the rest of the Angelus. You might think, oh, what a terrible thing to say to someone else when you're praying, but apparently it helped him. This Father Jim, he was deeply impressed, and he realized that Don Alvaro, Blessed Alvaro, noticed that he was perhaps distracted or just praying very fast and not paying attention to what he was saying. Well, if we pray the rosary daily, that's perhaps something we can try to correct. Perhaps it happens to me sometimes, Lord, that I'm praying this beautiful prayer, but really I'm just walking in the woods and thinking about other things. My mind is in the background, kind of, yeah, I'm kind of saying the rosary, kind of, more or less. Well, that's something, but I can do better. I can really pray. What a beautiful thing it is to pray. So let's renew also our prayer. And the third thing we can do is also to renew our friendship with people, with the people around us, and that offer of friendship that we give to anyone, to everyone. Not closing anyone out of the possibility of a friendship. Who knows what potential there is in some people around me? Similarly with my prayer, I never know how it may help a person that I pray. Let's never put kind of those negative tags on people. Okay, this person, he or she is not worthy. That person cannot do anything useful. That person is clearly excluded from God's plans. But how do I know? I cannot know such a thing. And it may seem sometimes that some person is far, but who knows what happens? Don Javier Echevarria, who was also the previous prelate of Opus Dei, he sometimes used to say that we live in a time in which there are many Saint Augustines. In a few days we celebrate Saint Augustine. Well, we don't celebrate him this year because he's on Sunday. But Saint Augustine was someone who seemed to hate the church and hate Christians, and he was very aggressive against them for many years. Then he was converted. His mother, Saint Monica, was praying a lot. And God gave him a great grace of conversion, and he became a great saint and did so much good. Well, we never know. We never know how our prayer and our friendship can help people. Friendship, respecting people and respecting the fullness of truth, preparing ourselves well to also to share our faith, to share and to understand them by good study and reading of the catechism and our own sacramental life. It's so important that our faith is to us not some vague idea or just some simplistic notion. It needs to be something that develops into a deep reality in us, a deep reality that is personal, dialogical with God, and that we're also capable of expressing in words, giving examples, helping others to understand what it might be. We cannot transmit it in words, but we can at least point towards it, invite to that encounter with Christ, who is someone, a living person, a living reality. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Well, it is his harvest and not ours. And perhaps that's the last idea with which we can finish. Souls are the people, they never belong to us. It's not in our mind, it's not in our power to determine what God has meant for them, what sort of vocation, what way of serving, what way of perhaps discovering God. We do not know those things. We are just helpers, instruments, and often clumsy ones. So let's receive this invitation from Christ with faith, but with humility, with a desire of serving, being good instruments, putting all the effort we can in being good instruments by our own formation and taking care of our interior life, but at the same time putting the greatest emphasis on the initiative of God. Like in that beautiful expression of Pope Francis when, soon after when he was elected Pope, he said, let's give scope to the surprise of God, to the ways in which God only is able to surprise us and to surprise other people. But with these intentions, with these ideas, let's turn to our Blessed Lady and finish our prayer, asking her to bless this new academic year, bless all our activities, bless also all our friends and colleagues, different people we encounter, people that are in contact with us, those people who we like, and also to bless those perhaps that we don't like especially, but who are also God's creatures and called to be sons and daughters of God. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations which you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.